Welcome to the Intuitively You podcast, where we chat all things intuitive eating, body image, finding peace with food, and so much more. I'm your host, Jen Baswick, intuitive eating dietitian and embodiment coach, and I'm your guide along your journey to food freedom so that you can improve your relationship with food and your body to no longer hold you back from living your best, most fulfilling life. We'll be chatting about all the real talk, the tips and tricks, the struggles, and most importantly, how you, yes you, can finally find peace with food and your body. After each episode, I'll be sure to wrap it up with some takeaways for you to implement in your life, so make sure to stick around until the end. Now, let's dive into today's episode. Do you feel like you're only worthy of certain things like rest, confidence, love, praise, doing certain things, fill in the blank with whatever else? If you only do something good in relation to how you're eating or how you're moving your body or how your body looks, almost like in any of these areas, whether it be food or movement or your body, you have to prove something to yourself to feel like you're worthy of attaining or doing something else or feeling something else. If you said yes, or if you're like, I don't know, maybe I've never really thought of that, maybe that is true for me, then chances are you might be tangling up your self-worth with food and your body. And this is something that is so common in a lot of the clients that I work with, and most people who are struggling in their relationship with food, is because there is some element of self-worth being attached to whatever kind of outcomes we're seeing, whether that be how we're eating or what our body looks like or how we're moving our bodies, and all of these shoulds that we place upon ourselves in those areas, and then not meeting or living up to those shoulds and feeling like we aren't deserving or worthy of certain things like rest, confidence, love, praise, like all those things that I mentioned and so much more, because we're not, you know, whether it be hitting a goal or fitting into the standard that we think we should be, any of that stuff. And in this episode, I really want to talk about the whole way that self-worth can be tangled up with food and your body and how to start detangling that. Because I think this is something that is very paramount to actually making change when it comes to your relationship with food healing journey, and something that you need to take a look at, because I know this was very pivotal for me in not just my relationship with food and body image healing journey, but many other areas of my life too. And this is something that really, really makes a difference. So I want to start off by defining self-worth. And even when I was thinking about it, I was like, what is the real, like, legitimate definition of self-worth? I know it's something that in recent years, as I've been on my own, like, healing journey in many other ways, like mindset-wise and in business and so many things, I've talked a lot about self-worth and worked a lot on self-worth, but I'm like, what's the real definition? I don't know. So I looked it up, and Merriam-Webster, you know, the good standard dictionary online, their definition of self-worth is a sense of one's own value as a human being. Okay. So that's, I guess, the official definition, but I wanted a little bit more. So I continued to look, and I found that the American Psychology Association, the, you know, APA, otherwise known as, they define self-worth as an individual's evaluation of themselves as a valuable, capable human being, deserving of respect and consideration. Positive feelings of self-worth tend to be associated with a high degree of self-acceptance and self-esteem. Okay, so those are our, like, real definitions from whoever decides what these definitions are out there. But to me, I really kind of want to share that with you, like what this means to me. Self-worth is knowing that I and any other human, right, that I am worthy and deserving of the things that I authentically desire in this life, period. Right? Like no conditions necessary, no proving necessary. And although it's been a long journey to get myself to think this way, I really do believe that all humans, you included, listening to this right now, are innately and inherently worthy of any and all of your authentic desires. And I know that might seem like, but really, don't I have to do X, Y, Z in order to deserve that or all these things? And that's exactly what I'm talking about. We've been so conditioned as a society that we need to prove ourselves or, you know, do something in order to feel the way we want to feel. And in some ways, like obviously there are sequences of events that need to happen in order for certain other things to happen, but that's not really, you know, what we're talking about with self-worth. Self-worth is knowing that you are worthy and deserving of something and knowing that. It's not really the act of taking steps towards something, if you know what I mean. It's more of that like knowing deep down that you are deserving of that. And there are or have been many, many times in my life where I haven't felt worthy and I haven't felt deserving of certain things or feeling the way that I truly wanted to. And a lot of the areas where this shows up or has shown up for me is with productivity, right? Hustle culture is real, like feeling the need to always be productive. Not feeling like I'm worthy of rest until everything on the to-do list is checked off. And whether that be work-related or, you know, just life-related, taking care of things, life admin-wise, whatever it is, productivity is such a big one and one that I still am working on. In the past, this has shown up in relationships, whether that be romantic relationships or friendships, you know, feeling worthy and deserving of those. And, you know, work, I think, is a big one that this can show up in, very related to that hustle culture or even school, right? Like if you're a student, that can show up there. And then definitely showed up for me along my education journey and my business. My goodness, we talk about a place that will really like poke at self-worth and your deservingness wounds, all that stuff. Being an entrepreneur is definitely one of them and something, again, I still continue to work on. And this another area or areas, I guess, where I haven't felt worthy before is really especially with food and my body. Before I started and even during really my intuitive eating journey, that is exactly what I want to talk with you about today, like more specifically, and know that this stuff applies to any of those areas of your life, but in the spirit of what we're all here for in terms of healing our relationship with food, we're going to, you know, look at this from that angle because it is something, again, like I said before, can hold you back. It can really hold you back. Am I perfect in remembering that I am worthy of things that I desire, even in feeling like I, you know, don't have to earn them by proving myself all the time? No, I'm not perfect in that. I still go down that slippery slope more often than I'd like to. But what is important is that I don't let those things take over, right? So I have now, and I can confidently say this, a really great baseline of knowing that I am inherently deserving and worthy of the things that I authentically desire. Is that a little shaky sometimes? Sure. Can I question it sometimes? Yes. And do I? Yes. But I really know what to do with that when I feel those ways. And I have tools and strategies that help me kind of overcome that and remember that knowing. And it can feel like a daunting task I know even when I started, you know, thinking about this stuff, I don't even know if I like defined it in this way when I started doing this work. I don't think that I did. But I know that it can feel really daunting to shift those ways of thinking when you haven't before. So let's talk about how to detangle your self-worth from food and stuff related to your body, right? And a lot of this comes down to, I think I have five-ish steps for you in mind to share. So you have that to like look out for. But really, a lot of this comes down to shifting your beliefs, right? Because why are we feeling like we aren't worthy? Because we have some kind of story that we're telling ourselves about why we should or shouldn't feel that way, right? So the first step here is really like questioning your beliefs. And I guess maybe a pre-step before that is understanding what your beliefs are, right? If you don't have the awareness that you have certain beliefs going on, and I'm going to give you some examples in this episode, so maybe you can use these as a jumping off point to explore, is that true for me, or do I feel like I'm holding on to that belief, or is there something similar that might be lingering in my mind, whatever. But really, you do need to understand what stories you're telling yourself about food and your body and movement. So really first, with that knowing of what stories you're telling yourself, question your beliefs. And really all you need to do here is ask yourself, why? Why? Just keep asking yourself, why? And if you don't know right away, just keep pondering it. Keep exploring. Why would you feel these ways? So some examples that you can kind of question, and maybe these are going to get at what beliefs you might be holding on to. Why do you feel like you've been a good or bad person based on what you eat? Right? Why is that? Why do you feel that way? Why do you feel like you're not allowed to take a rest day unless you push yourself with a really hard workout before, or the day before, or whatever? Why do you feel that way? Like, insert whatever rule you might have about movement. Or why do you feel like you can't go have fun at the beach unless your body is a certain size or looks a certain way? Why? Just keep asking yourself why. And with any of these, you know, things, fill in the blanks with whatever scenario you feel like is holding you back from living the way you want to live. Whether it be with how you're eating, the food that you have, the food rules that you have, movement and the rules you have around movement, or the way that your body looks, or the size of your body, or whatever, anything that's holding you back in these areas, question it. Question it. Ask yourself, why? Why is it that I feel like that? The second thing, so that's the first one, question your beliefs. The second thing is to ask yourself, how are those limiting beliefs serving you? And I know that may sound like a funny phrase or funny question to ask, because you're like, well, they're limiting beliefs and they don't feel good. Like, they're not serving me. I don't want to have those beliefs. I get that totally. But sometimes these types of things, or oftentimes really, these types of beliefs are serving you in some kind of way. Is it protecting you from something, right? And I think the best way to describe this is by giving you some examples. So really kind of looking at this from an angle of, in some kind of like backwards way, is this limiting belief serving me or protecting me in any kind of way? For example, is not feeling like you're quote unquote allowed to eat dessert unless you had a really quote unquote clean, good, whatever day of eating, protecting you from feelings of shame or guilt, right? So let that one sink in. If you're not allowing yourself to have dessert unless you meet some kind of criteria or prove to yourself that you are quote unquote good with your eating, Is that protecting you from feeling some kinds of feelings of shame or guilt? Or maybe there's some sense of control associated with that belief as well, right? Does your system feel like you need some kind of outlet as a sense of control over things because other things feel very out of control, right? That's another one that comes up very often for folks when it's related to food. But how is that belief around that food rule serving you in some, you know, backwards way? It's preventing you from feeling certain things or allowing you to feel certain other things. Another example, more like body image related, is not feeling like you can go have fun at the beach unless something changes about your body. Is that protecting you from feeling the fear of judgment from others? Right? Because that can be a big one. So really questioning, like, how are these limiting beliefs serving me in some weird backwards way? And then from there, your third step is questioning, you know, now knowing maybe or guessing how those limiting beliefs are playing a role for me in serving me or protecting me. How can I support myself with that need in a different way? Or how can I go about supporting myself with that in mind? However you want to ask yourself that. So again, I think this episode is a really good one for examples because this stuff can be so high level. But some examples of this, of how can I support myself otherwise, if this rule or thought or belief that you have in your mind is you've kind of identified, well, this is protecting me and stopping me from feeling that shame and guilt. So if you're feeling like you're avoiding the shame and guilt, how do we dissipate those feelings and kind of turn that around, if you will? Honestly, I will say here, like, Brené Brown is a fantastic thought leader when it comes to shame. And something that she said in a quote is, if you put shame in a petri dish, it needs three things to grow exponentially: secrecy, silence, and judgment. If you put the same amount of shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, it cannot survive. And I think that is just such a beautiful way to look at shame. And in the fact that if we're keeping it quiet and not speaking about it and judging ourselves and doing all of those things, which we often do in our relationship with food, it will grow and grow and grow, and we will feel more shame and more shame and more shame. But if we don't do those things and we turn it around with empathy or compassion, right, or anything very similar to that, it dissipates the amount that we feel that shame. And from this, well, not really from this, but something that's very related to this is a phrase that I tell my clients all the time. And that is, how can we shift our perspective from judgment to curiosity? So really with that, when we start to judge ourselves, say in the example of, you know, saying I can't eat dessert unless I had a good day of eating or whatever, has, you know, judgment in there towards ourselves. How can we get curious about that situation instead of judging ourselves for it? Like, okay, why is it that I, you know, feel like I have to prove myself to be deserving of having dessert? And getting curious about that. Why is it that I'm feeling that I need to control this so much or whatever, right? All of the curiosity can be such a good anecdote to all this too. Exploring food guilt is another one that you can dig into more. Like, shame and guilt kind of go hand in hand, but have a little different flavor to them, I guess. But what is it, you know, questioning, what is it that is making you feel guilty? Like, why is it that you're feeling guilty about certain foods? If it's dessert, right? If we're running with that example, why? Why do we feel guilty about that? What if food wasn't an inherently guilty thing? Hint, hint, it's not. And what if you know, this is all just those diet culture beliefs that make us feel that way, that make us feel that guilt because of all the shoulds and rules out there. And how can we support ourselves through dismantling all of our internalized diet culture, right? That's letting go of food rules, moving through them, making peace with food, doing all these beautiful things that I support my clients through in finding food freedom. That is, you know, direct ways to combat guilt and food guilt. And then kind of running with, you know, these examples I've been giving throughout, if we are looking at, you know, again, on this third point of how can I support myself with that need or thing that's coming up in a different way, if you are noticing with like the body and beach example, if that fear of judgment from others is coming up, kind of questioning like what's missing when you feel like you're being judged. Maybe you don't feel a sense of belonging, or you feel othered, or even further distilled down, maybe you're not feeling loved. And maybe an anecdote to this could be a lot of self-compassion and really validating yourself in how you're feeling and understanding why you feel the way that you do and knowing that that's valid. A lot of that compassion, a lot of that empathy for yourself, and even bringing someone else into that too can be a really beautiful thing. But really kind of like, this almost goes back to that idea, if you've ever heard of it before, of taking like an opposite action to the thing that's holding us back. So if there's that judgment, how can we, you know, turn that judgment around, get curious and compassionate, right? So how can you practice doing those things? And then the fourth piece of this, of really like how to detangle your self-worth from food, is to shift your beliefs. And I think this is probably one of the biggest things. Actually, no, I don't know. Maybe all of it's very important, but this is something that we, you know is very important, because what happens is when we have beliefs, our beliefs influence our thoughts, influence our emotions, and influence our actions and behaviors that we take in our life. And all of that, our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors just end up being the way we live our life. Our beliefs are at the core of all of that. So we really need to rewrite new beliefs to have them be more supportive for the life that we want to live. And I'm guessing and assuming, since you're here listening to this, you want to live a life of food freedom. And if you want to live a life of food freedom, if having all these limiting beliefs and your self-worth deeply tied to food in your body is probably holding you back, right? It's holding you back from living that life of food freedom. So really kind of asking yourself, looking at those beliefs that now, when we've kind of gone through all these steps you've identified, how can we switch them to be something more supportive? And I think an important piece here too is like getting your brain on board and not just switching things automatically into the positive, but really kind of switching beliefs into stepping stones of how can we move forward and embody something different through practice, through reminding ourselves, through whatever practice and way that you want to do it. How can we start to embody these new beliefs and rewrite them? Because if we keep holding on to these really limiting beliefs from diet culture, we're going to keep feeling icky about food, and we're going to keep, you know, having this reality with food aligned to those beliefs, which is just mismatched to the way that we actually want to feel, which is free. So again, some examples for you here of changing beliefs or what this could look like. Again, I think it's really important for me to mention, if you don't have some sense of like, I could see how that could be true, we want to get your brain on board. So we want to explore that a little bit more, or maybe making some stepping stones with your new beliefs so that you can eventually get there instead of just trying to fake it till you make it, if you will. And that's something that, you know, I work deeply with my clients on too. So examples, instead of saying or thinking or having the belief of, I can only have a cookie if I've ate good or clean all day. Switching that to, I can have a cookie at any time when it serves me best. I don't have to earn it. See how different that is? Ew, even like saying that out loud, I feel so much more expansive in my energy and my body saying the second one, whereas the first one feels like very constrictive and restrictive and like, ugh, right? So even noticing that for yourself, like when you say this, even if you say it back to yourself right now, like imagining again, the first one, I can only have a cookie if I've ate good or clean today, all day. Imagining yourself saying that or saying it to yourself right now, seeing how it feels. And then trying this one on. I can have a cookie at any time when it serves me best. I don't have to earn it. Right? Seeing how that one feels. And maybe, you know, with where you're at now, maybe that second one feels a little scary because it's like, whoa, like I'm going to let myself have a cookie anytime. That's like, okay. And there may be some fear there too, but just noticing that is the stepping stone towards food freedom, right? Another example, instead of saying or having the belief, I can only take rest after I've worked really hard. And this could be, you know, movement wise, workout wise, or even really just like productivity. But switching that belief to, I can listen to my body and take rest days whenever it serves me best. There are no rules. I don't have to earn rest or prove myself to get rest. Right? That's a shift. And then running with that beach example that I've been saying throughout this episode, instead of I can't go have fun at the beach unless I lose 20 pounds and fit into my old bathing suit again, changing that one to I'm deserving of having a fun time at the beach regardless of what my body size is. See how different that is. See how different that feels. And I will say this belief shifting will likely take time. It takes time. It takes practice. Building new neural pathways within your brain is something that comes with practice and repetition and like emotional intensity, all these things we need for these beliefs to actually shift. So just saying this to yourself one time, one day, don't expect that to just automatically give you a new belief. These old beliefs have probably been hanging around for years and years and years and have really strong neural pathways. So you need to do the practice and do the work to shift them. But know that it is very, very possible, because I used to have a lot of these limiting beliefs around food and my body and how things should be and had to be. And like, if I didn't meet that, I was a failure, and all these stories that I told myself. And here I am now teaching you how to do this, feeling so free, so peaceful in all these areas of my life. And I never thought it'd be possible. So all that to say, this is possible for you too. Just don't give up and keep practicing. Now, the last piece I want to share with you in this episode the fifth step, if we want to say that these are steps, is shifting your self-image. Okay? I don't throw in like a lot of self terms at you here, but self-image is more of like a bigger picture here. And self-worth is like our feeling of being worthy and deserving of things, right? Self-image is the way we view ourselves. And I really love the way that Sam Laura Brown of the Perfectionism Project podcast, that's her podcast, how she talks about self-image. She's a wonderful supporter of mine, and the way that she teaches on self-image is so awesome. I think is something that many of us need to take a look at in our lives. But really what you want to do here, or self-image, how we can look at it is more so thinking of the phrase, I'm the type of person who fill in the blank, right? So how do you view yourself? Like, what type of person do you view yourself as? What's your self-image like? So again, examples to describe this, I think, are best. So some supportive self-image thoughts to really support yourself through detangling that self-worth from food in your body could sound like. I'm the type of person who honors and listens to my body, not some arbitrary diet culture-based rules, right? Or I'm the type of person who enjoys life now, no matter what limiting beliefs may have held me back in the past. Or I'm the type of person who is learning to overcome my struggles with food and my body, and I allow myself to live fully as I'm in the process of healing. Oh, that last one. Yes, I believe that so strongly in my bones that you deserve, right? Come back to self-worth. You deserve to feel like that. You deserve to live your life fully, even if you aren't healed yet. That is something that you are innately deserving of. So, this whole spiel, all to say, I truly believe that you can detangle your self-worth from food and your body. And if you haven't even thought of this before listening to this episode, then that is totally fine. Just let this plant some seeds in your mind of noticing how this might be showing up in your life, how this might be showing up in your relationship with food or movement or your body image, and how is it holding you back? And then you can always come back to these 4 steps that I shared with you here. Actually, let me recap them because I feel like that might be helpful. The first one being questioning your beliefs. So noticing what beliefs you're feeling like you have towards food and your body, like things as if you can't do something unless you prove yourself in another way, like you can't have a cookie unless you have a day of clean eating, or you can't take a rest day unless you had a really hard workout, or you can't just go enjoy a beach day unless your body has changed. All of these like conditions and shoulds. What beliefs do you have there and how can we question them? So asking yourself why. That's the first one. Second one, how are those limiting beliefs maybe serving you or protecting you, right? Kind of that backwards look at it. Like, how is that protecting you from maybe feeling something or, you know, not feeling another thing? And 3, how can you support yourself with that need in a different way? How can you combat shame or guilt or the fear of judgment or whatever is coming up for you in a more supportive way? And 4, shifting your beliefs. So taking a look at those beliefs and shifting them to something else that is, again, more supportive. So kind of rewriting new beliefs for yourself and practicing embodying those, which takes time. And then 5, shifting your self-image. So really tapping into what kind of person you want to be with food in your body and your relationship with food in your body. And how can you, again, just with the beliefs, same with the beliefs, start to embody those and practice, you know, reminding yourself of the type of person who you want to be, which is the type of person you are. Because if you have that desire, you have it for a reason, right? So really that one, the self-image piece is I'm the type of person who fill in the blank with whatever kind of supportive thing that will align with your self-image in a way that supports your bigger values and goals of, you know, food freedom and living a joyful, peaceful, fulfilling life without all this icky stuff with food in your body holding you back anymore. I hope this was helpful for you, and I would love to hear any takeaways you have from this episode or questions you might have. Feel free to DM me on Instagram at The Intuitive Nutritionist anytime. I always love hearing from you guys, so that would warm my heart hearing your thoughts from this episode. And yeah, I hope you are doing so well on your journey as it stands right now. And if you are looking for some kind of support along the way, know that I'm here for you. Currently, as I am recording this episode, I can never guarantee because this stuff always changes pretty quickly. But as I'm recording this episode, as it is coming out and being aired, I do have one more one-on-one coaching program spot. So if you are interested in working with me, know that you can head to the link in the show notes to learn a little bit more about that and to apply and get some deeper support in shifting your relationship with food for the better and making it work for you instead of holding you back from living your life. So I'm here for you if you want that kind of support, and know that either way, I'm cheering you on. And thank you so much for tuning in to the Intuitively You podcast. I am so grateful for you, and keep on living your most intuitive life.
Thanks so much for listening to the Intuitively You podcast. You can find the show notes from today's episode along with all the takeaways at theintuitivenutritionist.com/podcast. Let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at the.intuitive.nutritionist. Be sure to share and tag me when you're listening along. And if you're loving the podcast, I would be so honored for you to go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button and leave a review. I'm so happy you're here and learning how to better your relationship with food, your body, and yourself. Until next time, keep on living intuitively you.